Hawaii, Dumbo. What are you going to eat there? What do you got there?
I've got a limited edition. Oh, look at there. A McRib with the sauce that I said was going to be messy coming out the end of the box.
What else you got? What is it made out of?
It's made out of pieces of pork pressed together, grilled, smothered in barbecue sauce, with pickle chips and slices of onion on top.
All right, well, let's have you take a bite and tell us how it is.
It's a limited edition.
You can be the taste tester.
Oh, good. Yeah, let's just hope I'm not the test dripper here. Because we're in your car.
I don't think I have any napkins, Dumbo.
Well, oh, crap. So here's Dennis's view. This is a total frickin' mess. Because reaching underneath it, it's sitting in barbecue sauce.
How is it?
Sloppy.
But how's the flavor?
The barbecue sauce is good.
Mm. I'm eating the french fries.
I'm going to have to take a bath.
All right, well, you know what today is. It's always on a Sunday.
With Dead and Low.
Wow, if you aren't the luckiest person I know.
How so?
What's the likelihood that you're going to get this barbecue sauce all over you? You get out of the car. We're at McDonald's in Three Rivers, Michigan. You get out of the car to go throw the trash away. And within 6 feet of the trash can looks like an old-fashioned pump.
Yep.
Water pump. And it's got water, working water.
Well, the best part is, this is November, right?
Yeah.
It's typically, you'd expect these things to be shut off so they don't freeze. But I had barbecue sauce on my right hand from picking up the sandwich. It was sitting in a puddle of barbecue sauce. I had a piece of barbecue sauce covered onion, raw onion, drop and fall and hit my pant leg and then roll onto the floor. I had barbecue sauce that was leaking out of the container in my left hand. And apparently I still have some on my lip. So I had barbecue sauce on both hands, my leg, the floor, the car seat. And my darling wife was able to eat hers without getting it all over her. And popped the trunk and found a roll of paper towels and this aforementioned water spigot. So I was able to rinse all the barbecue sauce off my hands except what needed a wet paper towel to get off. And I was able to clean myself up pretty good.
You're the luckiest person I know.
Well, it's a little bit of knowledge and a little bit of willingness to try anything when you're covered with barbecue sauce.
So the question is, Dumbo, was it worth it?
No.
And you still have barbecue on your lips there, bud. Want me to lick it off?
Kiss me, yes, please.
Yeah, lick it off. You know what? I made a mistake when I said that we're in Three Rivers.
Well, yeah, because I think we're in Cassopolis is the technical name of the place we're at.
Yeah, this is actually our second time in Cassopolis today.
Yeah, earlier today it was kind of funny as we were on our way to meet up with our loved ones that as we stopped at the light, the bank in downtown referred to Cassopolis, but the main pillar or the corner pillar was blocking off the sea. So when I looked at the sign, I saw Assopolis State Bank.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
That's what made it so memorable to me, that that's where we were.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because Three Rivers is way east of where we're at right now. So, yeah. So the reason why we're back in Cassopolis again is we're on our way back from South Bend, Indiana. And we've had like a whirlwind, super fun day.
Yeah, no kidding.
Started out with brunch to celebrate Emily's birthday.
Yeah.
And then we had a wonderful brunch at a place called the Rocky River Tap and Table. And then we proceeded from there to Joe's place of work with an indoor lettuce grower.
And that was totally cool.
Oh my gosh. We went on a plant tour. And like literally a plant tour and an actual plant facility.
A tour of the plant filled with plants.
Exactly. With yeah. lettuce growing. It was so, the amount of automation was so fascinating to me. I just can't get over it.
Well, and I can still smell the lettuce in my nostrils.
And they grow like a green, like a, he said they grew like a red lettuce. And then they grew something that was similar to an iceberg.
Yeah.
And then they grew arugula.
Yeah.
And romaine.
Yeah. And we got to watch the whole process of how these things start from seedlings and proceed through this monstrous growing house. And what did he call it? The, I forget, what was the name he called that?
What, the room that, where they grow?
The part where they see, oh, the germ room.
Oh, the germ, no, they have a, no, they, it's they have
germinating.
A, they have a place where they seed the beds.
Yes, it's the germ room.
But then they go to a place called a germinator where they hatch, like the seeds hatch and form little sprouts.
Yeah.
And then from there, they're progressed in the growing room. And the growing room is not a room. It's like, how big do you think that part? Do you think that was 50,000 square feet or more? I mean,
it was bigger than a football field.
Oh my God, it was massive.
And the part that was amazing is it had all these sort of trays. I think Joe had another name for
them. They called them gutters.
Yeah. Each one of them was filled with peat and plants.
And then they use reverse osmosis their own water.
Yeah.
To get the germs out and chemicals, and then they enhance their water with the actual chemicals that lettuce needs, phosphorus and sulfuric acid and two other things. I mean, it was so scientific. It was just, but it was awesome. The thing is the plants never stop growing, so they're working like they have multiple shifts even on the weekends.
Yeah.
Because the lettuce is growing, and depending on the lettuce, it can take anywhere from 18 days to 26 days to grow. Yeah. And they grow what they call baby lettuce.
Yeah.
You know, so probably, do you think the highest we saw was six inches?
Maybe at most.
Four to 6 inches is how far they let it grow. And I mean, it looked like I wish two things struck me. I wanted to like, we were within a few feet. We had to wear PPE, which is personal protective gear. We had to cover our hair. We had to wear gloves. We had to cover our clothing. We had to cover our shoes. And then we had to step on this special powder in and out of the different rooms so that we didn't carry germs into the environment.
Yeah.
So that part was super cool. But once we were there and we were like looking at all this lettuce, I like wanted to just like lean forward and take a huge bite of it because it's clean. It's growing in a very clean environment. It's not hydroponic, but it's grown in a specialized peat
moss. Medium.
Yeah, medium of peat. And so for me, it was like, I wanted to take a bite out of it. And then the second thing that crossed my mind is I wanted to rip off all my clothes and just like lay on it all. And like, it was up, it was as high as our necks because of the lettuce. The actual shelving unit where the lettuce is on. I'm saying this wrong, but like I'm going to describe like this massive system of tables where neck high, right?
Yeah.
So we would have had to climb up onto a ladder, take our clothes off, and then like roll in it. That's what I was like envisioning in my head.
Well,
it was so lush and so beautiful.
As you share your vision, I'm thinking, you know, I could have another salad for my dinner.
I just am thinking it was so unbelievable. Just the green lushness of it. It was just so cool.
Yeah. And we went in at the front end where they were germinating the seeds.
Mm-hmm.
And then thankfully, Joseph took us all the way around to the other end. And
where they harvested
it. Where they harvested it. And these plastic gutters that are And essentially, in their formative stages, they 28 days later, or however many days it is, they're at the other end of the warehouse, and they've got a machine that is constantly running a conveyor belt. The lettuce does all the work.
Yeah.
Of course, with the help of the chemicals
And the
and
sunlight.
the
And they
sunlight.
do use natural sunlight coming through the roof of the greenhouse. I guess it's a greenhouse, you know.
That's what I'd call it.
But it was so amazing. And just, you know, our son Joe is just so stoked about working there. I mean, he's loving it. He's working on special projects, improving operations and quality. And so he's doing what he loves. It's a combination of manufacturing, he loves automation. And he's using his engineering, industrial engineering, and his data science background. So it's just, he's super happy, and we're happy for him.
And there's a part of it that's really cool because the, and I say that tongue in cheek, really cool, and the temperature is cool to keep the lettuce at a desired temperature as it's harvested and packed and shipped. And the part though where the lettuce is actually growing is oppressively hot and humid.
Yeah, but it's a greenhouse. Yeah.
So it's
That's super cool. Probably the most fascinating thing I've seen this year.
Well, growing
Well, no,
up,
that's not true because I actually was in a one in a recently in an automotive plant recently. I think it was over the summer, and that was also very fascinating too. So between that operation and this operation, one's in agriculture and obviously one's in automotive. Just the whole manufacturing environment is just super interesting. So much technology. And when you think about all the human brain power that went into thinking up not only the processes, but the mechanisms, the machinery, the computers that run everything, there's so much brain power, human brain power behind all of this. It's really unbelievable, and it's just amazing.
Well, it is obviously the effort of a team of people that has changed over time because somebody put together this system, figured out how to fix the problems to make it workable, make it grow the product that they intended, and to keep it going is another set of problems. It was interesting to watch how the power of physics was at work all the time as these trays of lettuce come flying off the end of the production line, go in through a little tiny trap door, and suddenly, at a certain point, the lettuce is harvested and on a production line, and it's piled up for somebody to put it into the next stage of the
Goes into a
process.
big hopper and it gets weighed and measured in the right amount and then gets put into the
Plastic
plastic. And
containers.
you know, there's human people interfacing with the machines, which is very interesting too, to see how the humans are working with the machines. But I thought that the line, you know, it wasn't like going too fast or anything. It was at a nice relaxed pace. I thought as far as the way things were kind of progressing along.
It wasn't like Lucille Ball and her chocolate factory.
No, it wasn't like that at all, where they're trying to speed up the line or whatever, but it was just super interesting. So anyways,
It was a
kudos to
fun day.
anybody who listens to this that's in manufacturing. It's just amazing. And for somebody like Dennis and I, that we've worked in services for the majority of our careers, to be involved in that whole, just getting some exposure to the manufacturing process is just, it's to be commended. It's just amazing.
Well, and I think about my history growing up in farm country, up in West Branch, and watching the process of how crops are planted and nurtured and harvested with all this big machinery going to the soil. And it's interesting to see that there's another idea at work today that instead of only growing lettuces in the summer in your garden or in some small field patch, that somebody's taken the space and condensed it and put one machine or a series of machines together in a physical place, and they bring the soil or the media for growing in to a building So instead of growing it outside, they're growing it inside. And it's still farming, but it's quite different than the way we would have done it, growing up 50, 60, 70 years ago. It's amazing.
Super cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's see. So then after that, we went to the dog park with our grand puppy who's 7 months old. Her name is Cleo, and she's super adorable. She's American Pit Bull mixed with Chow, and her tail curls up at the end, but she is so cute. She's got white paws and a white, the last 6 inches of her tail is white. And then she's got like a white star on her forehead. And I think she's got a white belly
Yeah.
and a black saddle. But I mean, she is so darn cute and so adorable.
Well, you left out the part where we were introduced to her at her home.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, I met her before.
Oh,
I met her when she was 3 months old. So you just met her today. Yeah.
Yeah,
So go ahead and talk
I
about
didn't
that.
feed her anything to
No.
bribe her to
No.
like me, but
Like I did.
I kind of ignored her, and she came
Yeah.
around and kind of nuzzled on my hand that was hanging over the edge of my chair, and
That was
she
interesting.
got my hand quite wet, visited three or four times, came under the table, and I just was nonchalant, and she eventually sort of warmed up to me.
Yeah, it was cute how after a while she came over and she wanted to sniff you and then she wanted to nuzzle your hand.
Yeah.
And that was really super cute. And then, of course you don't like cats and they have Barry, the kitty.
And Barry
And
jumped
what
up
and
right
yeah,
next to me like three
exactly.
times. It was
Like, why do
freakish.
cats that you're allergic to cats or you don't like cats, but we've been at other people's houses that have cats and the cats are like attracted to you. They're like, I'm gonna make you love me.
Maybe I smell like their favorite food. I don't know.
Tuna?
Yeah, maybe I
I
smell like fish.
don't know. Unknown. Oh my God, that's just hilarious.
So it does remind me of an old joke that I told at the spur of the
It's not a
moment.
dirty joke. I don't want to hear any dirty
It
jokes.
wasn't a dirty
Okay,
joke.
good, good.
It was kind of risque, though. Somebody suggested that there was a very recent phenomena where some large amount of detergent had been washed into Lake Michigan. And somebody says, well, geez, won't that make all the fish smell clean? And I said, oh, no. So then there'll only be one thing left in the world that smells like fish.
You are so, that is naughty.
It was naughty. It was mixed company,
You're
but a
naughty. That
room full
mixed
of people
company too, that's nasty.
at work.
Oh, that would never fly in today's environment. I can't even, that's like disgusting.
Everybody
Yeah.
laughed, so that was
Well, that's
probably how I
because
got away with
women,
it.
that's because women used to laugh along with stupid men's jokes back in the day. I mean, we all did. I grew up in the old school with a bunch of guys
Well,
as managers and a couple of women here or there, but women were definitely in the minority, but I chose to work in the automotive industry. So, I mean, but we would just go ha 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 and kind of laugh along, but I mean, in deep inside, like I'm offended by that. I don't really like that at all. That bothers me.
I have only repeated it to you.
Oh yeah, and like the whole effing world who's listening to this podcast.
Well, I'm not sure the whole world is listening to it.
Oh,
We
you're
might
so
have two or
funny.
three occasional listeners.
That's not true. We have more than two or three.
Okay, four or five.
Six or seven, eight or nine. Depends on what's going on.
Well, you and I were talking about Chloe.
Who's Chloe?
I'm sorry, Cleo, I'll say it right.
Yeah.
And what came after the introductions at the kids' house? The dog park.
Yeah.
That was a lot of fun to watch.
Oh, so we're getting straight laced now. We're going to the dog park.
I'm not straight-laced. The dog's
We've gone
tail
from
curled up.
fish to the dog park.
So it was kind of fun. I didn't go in the
You're changing the
enclosure.
subject when I said I found that joke was offensive. You haven't addressed that. You just like, oh, okay, let's go on to the dog park. Let's talk about the joke being offensive.
Oh, well, it's offensive to you.
It's offensive to a lot of women.
Well, okay, so knowing
so
that...
Now, so I will... knowing that and then saying something like, let's just get into it, because if saying something like, oh, well, not that many people have heard it, or the women that did hear it laughed, that doesn't make it okay.
I'm going to say, I am so sorry. I will not ever repeat that joke.
Okay, good.
Please forgive me.
All right, I'll forgive you. But honestly, those jokes are, you know what I mean, you know, in your heart of hearts. It's not something you would say in today's environment.
No.
Right.
I'm a
now, what changed your mind about jokes like that? Did you have some type of DEI training or some type of sexual harassment training in your career that made you change your mind about the quality of those jokes?
No, it was, I was a whole lot younger. That was a very long time ago. And I had the opportunity to have more exposure to upper level managers and people who would refrain from saying anything that might be even slightly controversial. It does take a lot of the impact out of more meaningful conversations, this desire to not offend. But
do you think it had anything to do with raising a daughter?
No, because my daughter was already out of the house at that age.
Oh, okay.
You know, I was 35 when she was out of the house.
She was already grown.
Yeah. Well, at least in
college.
Because
I think sometimes when guys have daughters, I think sometimes they're more like they wouldn't want their daughters to put up with some of the stuff that went on in the workplace, you know. And I'm going to go back in time 40 years ago, 30 years ago. And, you know, obviously prior to that. But I think when you raise a daughter, you're probably more sensitive to, you know, the type of environment she's going to have to encounter at work.
Well, there's a certain level of protectionism that I always felt about the women I worked with, because I knew that there were some guys that were blatant. I'm not sure where you would rate my poor joke, but they were blatantly pursuing female coworkers. I always stayed completely away from that. They also would say rude comments about women at work. I had, at that point, had a couple of employees that were saying and doing things that were over the line, and I had to admonish them. I thought of what my poor joke was as far less than those behaviors. It took about 3 seconds or 5 seconds, and it was the end of the event and not repeated. But what was repeated and way more over the line, I had a problem with. And for example, one of the things that I took exception to was a practice of people in these remote offices, and even some of the larger offices, were mostly men. And they frequently had pinups of some partially clad woman, or they would have a collection of dirty magazines. And I insisted when I became a manager that no such materials were permitted in our business offices.
Isn't that crazy that people even had that stuff at work?
Oh, I know.
It's so nutty. And, but they couldn't have it at home.
So
if they were married or whatever.
So
you know?
I let everybody know that that was the practice, and mm-hmm. that I would make sure if I found any such materials on company property, I would confiscate them, and I would keep them in the trunk of my car in a cardboard box for 1 week, and they could claim them if they would come forward and say that they were theirs.
Oh, my God!
And then I would return them to them. But nobody ever did, and eventually I had to get rid of, you know, the offensive materials. And it actually caused an interesting little humorous situation because in my career before I became a supervisor, I frequently was called upon to go replace people who were on vacation or off sick or something like that. I was the new guy. And so at the Harrison office, I had the opportunity to replace Rosemary, who was a great technician there. And she had a very clean office. And it was kind of in the early days, but the office had actually a wooden screen door. It didn't have air conditioning. And being in Harrison, Michigan, occasionally it was hot enough that they'd need a little ventilation. So one particular day as I was working, I heard somebody knocking on this wooden screen door. So I went to the door, and here was somebody who said, "Pardon me, but I have a cottage up here, but I didn't get a phone book. Do you have any phone books here?" And I said, "Well, I'm here temporarily, but if you want to come in, I'll be happy to see if we've got some in a cabinet." And Rosemary, on the far side of the office, there was lots of equipment closer to the door, and the area where she had these storage cabinets was on the far side of the office, where there was a large open area that they were going to expand equipment into. And the fellow followed me, and shortly after I opened the second or third file cabinet, I found some phone books, and I turned around with a couple of them in my hand. I said, "How many do you want?" And he was walking towards the door. And I thought, well, that's odd. So I ran after him and gave him the phone books. And he was hustling to get out the door. And so then when I went back to shut the cabinet door, I think I saw the reason why he made a hayako out of there. And it's because Rosemary had a pinup of Burt Reynolds naked
Oh my
on
God.
the ca inside of the cabinet door. So when I opened it, I was looking for phone books. I didn't see what
My
was on the door.
gosh. That's a full reversal of what I would expect.
Yes, well, that was a
See, so
full
you're
re
saying women did it too.
yes,
So it was both men
at
and
least
women.
Rosemary did.
That
So
is a shocker.
later on, when I got promoted,
So now
guess
everybody has to take their pinups down, boys and girls.
later on, when I became Rosemary's supervisor, I told her that story, and I said, "Now, Rosemary," I said, "I don't know if you still have it, but
God,
here's my policy." And
Jesus.
she says, "Oh my gosh, you mean I got to take that down?" And I
Oh,
said, "Yes, you do."
that
I
is
said, "It works for one, works for
crazy. I
all."
do have to say, though, I used to like Burt Reynolds a lot.
Well, I
I
like
used
Burt
to like
Reynolds,
Burt.
but
I loved him in the Smokey and the Bandit movies. He was so sexy.
well, I had to look at a copy of it because I wanted to see if he was showing his junk, but he had his hand strategically placed.
Grape leaf, the grape leaf pose where the man
Yeah,
puts his hand in
yeah.
front. Oh my gosh.
So I suspect
Well,
there's.
that's a crazy story, Dunbo.
Yeah, well, I guess I've never shared that with you
I
before.
don't think I've ever heard that one. Isn't that nutty cuckolada?
Well, Rosemary was a great technician. She kept a really clean office. She's a great person to work
She
with.
had a clean office, but a dirty mind.
There's nothing wrong with that. You say that as if there's something wrong with
It's a
that.
bad thing.
Yeah.
Oh my God. All right, now we've talked about that. Now we can move on to the dog park. So tell us, this was your first time ever at a dog park
It
today.
was, and it was hilarious because as I kind of was prepared for, maybe I didn't want to be in there because, I don't like to get too close to dogs. And I saw about 20 dogs in this enclosure, and I said, "Yeah, I think I'll just stay outside." And they had dogs of all sizes, and when Cleo went in, immediately she started chasing dogs. And from a distance, I saw, before I went to the park, I was in the parking area, I saw that when she got in, that she started running, and like about 20 minutes later, 20 minutes, 20 feet inside, she was already tumbling with some other dog. And they weren't fighting, they were just playing. And that dog ran herself ragged.
At least for a half hour or
Oh,
more.
yeah. It was hilarious to watch.
It was fun seeing all the different dogs there. There was a little Boston Terrier named Ernie.
Oh, okay.
There was a Dalmatian.
Yeah.
There was a Labradoodle. There was a Labrador. There was like a
Bernese.
Australian. Oh, there was a Bernese.
Yeah.
There was a Australian Shepherd. The sheepdog. You know the Australian sheepdogs that do the herding?
Yeah.
The one that was mostly white with some black, but that was mixed with something. Then there was a Basset Hound mixed with a Beagle. There was probably 20 dogs there easily, but they're all different kinds.
Well, they had a nice long lot, and then on the street side, it curved uphill so the dogs could kind of corner. Mm-hmm. And
it went along the trail of the St. Joe River.
Yeah.
So they had, it was just a nice, pleasant place. It was probably one of the nicest dog parks I've ever been to. And it was just really nice. So, yeah, it was fun to go and see our little grand puppy Cleo playing with her canine friends. But it was cute how she would play and play and play and play. And then after 10 minutes or so, she'd come back around and check with Joe and Emily. Like, she'd check in with them, like checking in on her mom and dad to see what they were doing or whatever. And then off she'd go. And every time a new dog would come in, she would be like one of the first ones to run to the gate to greet the newcomer. And like, there was not one dog there that Joe, well, there's a Westie that showed up today that Joe said was something he'd never seen before. But they take her to the dog park every single day. So they know all the dog owners and they know all the dogs. So that's kind of cool that they've got that little community going with the dog park and the dog owners.
Well, I thought it was kind of cute that as a new dog came in, the other dogs wanted to get to know them.
Because they got to sniff butts.
Yeah.
That's how they check each other out.
Well, that's what people do.
Jeez, I hope not. Don't sniff my butt. That's so gross. You're grossing me out.
Well.
Oh, well. It's been a long day. I'm exhausted, Denbo. I'm ready to go to sleep.
Well, I love you, Lois.
I love you, Denbo. We'll talk again soon.
It's always on a Sunday.
With Den and Lo. Love you.
Love you.